welcome and good morning, everyone. July Dharma Sunday for October 30th, 2011. I am your host, Reverend Koyo Kobose. I'm so glad you joined us on this Halloween weekend coming. And when I think about Halloween, I always think about my childhood memories. I guess I was, you know, I was raised on the south side of Chicago. I was a city boy, and maybe we learned on the streets at an early age how to be streetwise, I guess you call it. But I remember when I was 6 or 7, and my brother, who was 5 years older than me, on Halloween, he told me I didn't know about trick or treating, and he told me to go to the neighborhood store and just say trick or treat, and they'll give me free candy. And I remember, because my brother always would tease me and fool me a lot, so I said, "Nah, you can't trick me like that. You know, you can't fool me. I know that sounds too good to be true. You make a fool of me. You're playing a joke on me." And I didn't believe him, you know. But of course, once we find out it's true, boy, does that greed or gluttony kick in. And when I was maybe 8 or 9, and we would go out, and I remember we used to like to, if we, there was a large apartment buildings, that was very efficient, and we would go on the many floors and go to each apartment and trick-or-treat, and if we found a bachelor who said, "Oh, is it Halloween?" And he didn't have any candy, so he would give us a nickel or, you know, something like that. And boy, we liked that money. And if we could, sometimes we'd go back an hour later, or even switch masks maybe. And I remember also, when our young boys, they really clued in to Halloween, of course, as all young kids do. And our son, he must have been about, 5 or so. And he was waiting for Halloween. And we were still in bed, and he woke up. He was still lying in bed, and we heard him in his bedroom yelling, "It's Halloween!" And of course, he loved candy, and his mom said, Adrian said, "One day of the year on Halloween, you get to eat all the candy you want." And boy, he really loved it. I don't remember if he got sick or not. Maybe that's one way that you learn how to monitor yourself or the consequences of things when you overdo it. But maybe that kind of excess is okay in a limited context. We might think, hey, you should never have any occasion when you should fully indulge yourself. Well, maybe it's good to experience that extreme, as well as extreme on the other side, so that you experience that whole range. Well, you know, instead of just being always in the middle. Well, for today, we are honored to have as our guest, would give us a Dharma glimpse, Goyo Andy Bondi of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. He was a member of the Lay Minister 4 group that finished a 2-year program, and they graduated or was inducted as a Bright Dawn Lay Minister this past May. So for today's Dharma Glimpse, Goyo Andy Sensei.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity, and looking forward to talking to everybody. I was just noting that a little chilly here in Cherry Hill. It's snowed yesterday. But it's nice and sunny today, so it's a good day, a good time to share thinking about Halloween too, it always has a special connection for me because my oldest daughter, Raina, was born 34 years ago on November 1st. So we spent Halloween kind of handing out candy and then running to the hospital. So they were always linked together for me. But this little glimpse is based on my grandson, Leo. And recently he was talking to Raina and said, in the darkness, there's also a lot of brightness, you know. And led me to think about the following. What does it mean to be a great teacher? I spend a lot of my professional time trying to guide teachers, various professionals and family members to be more effective teachers for those with disabilities, especially autism. I often try to be a teacher of teachers, but we often learn from those who are not trying to teach, who have no intent on teaching at all. The above statement was from Leo, who is now 3.5 years old. Was he trying to teach a lesson? I think he was clearly trying to make a useful statement. The "you know" invites a reaction, a comment, or a simple agreement. But the ways that I hear what he said may be very different than what was influencing his statement. I was thinking about this because I often read or listen to interviews of authors or other artists, and when they're asked, "What did you mean?" or "Why did you write that?" many refuse to engage in this type of interview, some aggressively, some passively, and perhaps some arrogantly. But what the listener or reader understands is often partially influenced by the factors that influence the author, more about what we hear is based upon our own contingencies, the things that have and continue to influence our own behavior. And when an author writes something, he or she is not directly aware of all the influence on potential listeners. Of course, there is some connection, language, culture, things like that. The personal awareness of each person who may read what is written is rare. So would asking Leo, what did he mean, help us? More likely, we would see the limitations of his perspective. Perhaps he was looking for something under his bed and his eyes adopted to the darkness, and then he was able to gradually see more and more. The brightness appeared in the darkness. But of course, we adults hear things that are much more profound. We think about darkness in life or in our own situation, and Leo's words resonate with, gee, maybe there is more brightness than I first suspected. So Leo was a great teacher, though he had no intent on teaching anyone anything. And that reminds me of part of our 5 daily guidelines. Respect everyone you meet. They are your teachers. Can this experience help me be a better teacher? Perhaps I need to trust that the audience will make their own connections with simple or short statements without me having to expand upon every detail of why I am saying what I am saying. Of course, it also seems that at times the experiences of someone listening overwhelm the direction you're trying to suggest. While doing a workshop this week in Philadelphia, I was trying to stress the importance of showing what you know, not just talking about what you know. I thought I used various examples of why this was important. And yet at the end of the day, when asked to write comments and questions about what we presented, someone wrote, "So when I want to introduce PECS, it's a picture-based system, to my students who have no communication or language skills, should I start by explaining the system to them with words?" Here is when I repeat to myself over and over, in the darkness, there's also a lot of brightness, you know. And sure hope that Leo is right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. I was reminded as I was listening to the Dharma Glimpse, the part where you're talking about maybe authors or artists, when they're asked to explain something, what did you mean? Or I thought of a classic case where interviewer asked Picasso, "Why do you paint like that?" You know, his abstractness. And Picasso said, "Ask the birds why they sing." But I think there's some kind of a good perspective, okay, to counterbalance sometimes our obsessive need to try to put everything into a particular context. And force others to be in that context too. There's a my father used to always say, you know, be yourself. In terms of, you know, the Buddhist teachings, just be yourself. Now he's talking about naturalness and the suchness of life. I also thought of the kind of joke, a takeoff on that. That doesn't apply, but someone said, you know, be yourself. Sometimes that's the worst advice you can give some people. But not be yourself in terms of, well, be, you know, self-centered and selfish. Okay? But be yourself in the sense that just natural, without inferiority or superiority complexes. And indeed, when the Dharma Glimpse mentioned about a lot of great teachers, they don't have an intention of teaching. They're just living their life naturally. It's up to us to be observant. And that's very instructive, because sometimes in the West, I shouldn't generalize to the West, but, you know, we tend to blame failures on outside factors. If a student cannot learn, oh, the teacher must, or the educational system must be at fault. And maybe the system or can be improved. But from the perspective of the learner, he should have the attitude of, hey, I've got to take the responsibility to learn. Okay? And don't just expect, like a baby bird with the mouth open, and the mother will come in and pre-digest the food and everything and spit it out into the baby bird's mouth. No. This is what you got to. Great teaching requires great listening. I remember at my father's funeral, I gave sort of a part of the eulogy, and one thing I mentioned was, you know, he never taught me anything, but I learned a lot. Sometimes you can't help but learn a lot. When you see things happen, directly experience them in everyday life, not that I'm trying to have my great listening switch on, but boom. You know, you receive a teaching. It's very direct. Well, Halloween. At this time of the year, I think about American Dharma holidays. I think a lot of American holidays that we observe, there's a lot of Dharma teachings in there. We should use these occasions and combine them with the Dharma teachings. It's built in. It behooves us to take advantage of the focus, the excitement, and teach our children about the Dharma and, of course, ourselves. Okay. And there's no standard, formal, accepted one-way interpretation or meaning of what the Dharma teaching might be for particular holidays. Okay? Apply it to yourself in your own life and come up with different ones every year or whatever. One lesson, I think, is the idea of masks. You know, you always wear a Halloween mask. And you know, it's true that psychology research has shown that if you put a mask on, you have some sort of anonymity, and you will engage in more negative behavior, whether it's taking more candy from a bowl or you know, you feel no self-responsibility when you have a mask on. Your identity is hidden, so you could let your baser instincts come out, so to speak. And the point has been made, that's why law officers or military, they wear a uniform so that they represent certain things, not just their individual. You got to follow orders, you know, not think for yourself. So masks are the opposite of naturalness and just be yourself. Your naked self. And, of course, in this time of the year, season is autumn, and you see the falling leaves, and we always think about, when I think about masks, and think about the famous haiku poem about maple leaves falling down, showing front, showing back. Just naturally, huh? No front and back, just falling down. We always try to show the front, not our dark backside, huh? You know, clean up our front porch, but oh, don't go in the back porch. We act a certain way. We brown nose or be obsequious or in front of important guests. But you know, if we're the wise man, he's acts the same, whether he's in a room by himself or with a lot of important people. I think young children and real old seniors share that same kind of innocence or childlike, you know. You see older people, you say, oh, how childlike. In terms of the good qualities of innocence, spontaneity, no embarrassment. It's sort of like you came full circle, you know. But when you're real young and then you're not embarrassed to be naked in front of anybody when you're born. And when you get real old, Adrian's mom, 96 years old, and she living with us, and she'll burp or pass some gas and think nothing of it. And I think that's nice. So I do the same thing. And if we're at home in the dining room by ourselves or whatever, and even in her presence, I feel so free too, because she's free. How relaxing, how comfortable, and what is proper, what is improper? You know, again, it depends upon the context, and maybe in certain limited contexts, it's nice to have those extremes, times when we should really be extra this way, or sometimes when we could really be ourselves in terms of things that we would not do in other contexts. But clearly, at the base of it all, when universal life shines in us, we don't have to explain ourselves. We will live lives like birds sing and like water flows. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful Halloween. Thank you.